Hello, and welcome to GCSE Science Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most exciting topics in combined science magnetism and electromagnetism. This is topic 3.4 in your EdExcel specification, and trust me, once you understand how magnets and electricity work together, you'll see them everywhere in the real world, from electric motors in your phone to the speakers in your headphones. Now, I know this topic can feel a bit abstract at first, but here's the good news. Examiners love testing this because there are clear, predictable patterns you can learn. And that's exactly what we're going to cover today. By the end of this podcast, you'll know exactly how to draw magnetic field lines, apply Fleming's left-hand rule like a pro, and nail those motor effect calculations. Let's get started. Core concepts. 5 minutes. First up, let's talk about the difference between permanent and induced magnetism. This is absolutely fundamental, and it comes up in almost every exam paper. A permanent magnet, like the ones on your fridge, produces its own magnetic field all the time. It has a north pole and a south pole, and you already know that like poles repel and unlike poles attract. Simple enough, right? But here's where it gets interesting. Induced magnetism. When you bring a magnetic material like iron or steel near a permanent magnet, that material becomes temporarily magnetized. It's called induced magnetism because the magnetic field from the permanent magnet induces magnetism in the material. And here's the key point that candidates often get wrong in exams. An induced magnet always attracts the permanent magnet, it never repels. Let me say that again. Induced magnets only attract, never repel. That's because the induced poles always arrange themselves to be opposite to the permanent magnet's pole. Mark that down. It's worth at least one mark on your exam. Now, let's talk about magnetic field lines. Examiners are very particular about how you draw these. Magnetic field lines always emerge from the North Pole and enter the South Pole. They never cross or touch each other. That's a common mistake that loses marks. And here's a pro tip. Draw at least 3 lines on each side of the magnet to show the field pattern clearly. Also, where the lines are closer together, the magnetic field is stronger. That's called higher magnetic flux density. You might be asked to show this by spacing your lines appropriately. Moving on to electromagnetism, this is where things get really powerful. When you pass an electric current through a wire, it creates a magnetic field around that wire. Coil that wire up into a solenoid, and you've got an electromagnet. The brilliant thing about electromagnets is that you can switch them on and off, and you can make them stronger by increasing the current or adding more coils. This is why electromagnets are used in everything from scrapyard cranes to MRI scanners. Now, higher tier candidates, pay close attention to this next bit, the motor effect. This is where a current-carrying wire in a magnetic field experiences a force. The interaction between the magnetic field from the permanent magnet and the magnetic field from the current creates a force that pushes the wire. This is how electric motors work, and it's tested heavily at higher tier. The equation you need to know is F equals BIL. That's force equals magnetic flux density times current times length. Let me break that down. B is the magnetic flux density measured in Tesla, I is the current in amps, and L is the length of the wire in the magnetic field measured in meters. And that's crucial, meters, not centimeters. Forgetting to convert from centimeters to meters is one of the most common mistakes in calculations. To work out the direction of the force, you use Fleming's left-hand rule. Hold out your left hand, and it must be your left hand, not your right. Your first finger points in the direction of the magnetic field from north to south. Your second finger points in the direction of the conventional current from positive to negative, and your thumb points in the direction of the force or motion. There's a great mnemonic for this, FBI, force, B field, I current. Use that and you'll never mix them up. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This topic appears across all 3 assessment objectives, so you need to know your facts, apply them to unfamiliar contexts, and analyze data. For AO1 questions, those straightforward recall questions, make sure you can state definitions precisely. For example, if they ask you to define magnetic flux density, you need to say it's the strength of the magnetic field. Don't waffle, be precise. For AO2 questions, you'll be given a scenario and asked to apply your knowledge. A classic one is, explain how increasing the current affects the force on a wire in a magnetic field. You'd use F equals BIL and explain that if current increases, force increases proportionally because they're directly proportional. For AO3 questions, you might be given data from an experiment and asked to analyze it. Always show you're working, use the correct formula, and include units in your final answer. Now, let's talk about those common mistakes. Number 1, drawing magnetic field lines that cross. They never cross. Each line represents a path a North Pole would follow, and it can't be in two places at once. Number two, confusing conventional current with electron flow. In Fleming's left-hand rule, you always use conventional current, which flows from positive to negative. Number three, forgetting unit conversions. If the question gives you length in centimeters, convert it to meters before plugging it into F equals BIL. And here's a big one for 6-mark questions on the motor effect. Structure your answer clearly. Start with current flows through the wire. Then, this creates a magnetic field around the wire. Then, the magnetic field from the wire interacts with the permanent magnetic field, and finally, a force is exerted on the wire. That logical structure will earn you method marks even if you make a small error. Quick fire recall quiz, 1 minute. All right, let's test your recall. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question to answer. Question one, do induced magnets attract or repel permanent magnets? Answer, they always attract. Question two, in Fleming's left-hand rule, which finger represents the current? Answer, the second finger. Question three, what are the units for magnetic flux density? Answer, Tesla. Question four, if you double the current in a wire, what happens to the force in a magnetic field? Answer, the force doubles. Question five, do magnetic field lines emerge from the North Pole or the South Pole? Answer, they emerge from the North Pole and enter the South Pole. How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant. If not, go back and review those concepts. Summary and sign off, 1 minute. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered permanent versus induced magnetism, how to draw magnetic field patterns, the motor effect, and the equation F equals BIL, and Fleming's left-hand rule. Remember the mnemonic FBI, always convert your units and structure your long answers logically. This topic is worth around 10 to 15 marks on your combined science papers, so it's definitely worth mastering. Practice drawing those field lines, get comfortable with your left-hand rule, and drill those calculations until they're second nature. Thanks for listening to GCSE Science Essentials. Keep practicing, stay curious, and I'll see you next time. Good luck with your revision.